Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Denver 7's Troy Rank.
If I listen to your lies, would you say I'm a man without conviction?
Don knows what's up. Here we go.
You come and go. You come and go.
There we go. Gotta pay tribute. Schlereth and Evans. It is a football Friday. Or based on the news this morning, maybe it is a football Friday. Good morning to you. Reunited and it feels so good. Chad Andrus and Troy Rank. It's been a while, Troy.
I think it was it 4th of July last time we were talking?
Maybe.
You were going to Ireland, getting ready to go to the British Open, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm getting ready to get on a flight today, too. So how about that? Maybe I just need to work with you more to get more time out of town. Schlereth and Evans off on this day after Thanksgiving, a Black Friday today. And Mark may be up listening. We'll see. I don't know what game he has this weekend, but incredible weekend for sports fans. It's always fun to be on Thanksgiving weekend because there's just so much happening, and it really becomes hard to follow on a normal basis, even without the World Cup. And then you throw in World Cup action with USA taking on England today, and lo and behold, a surprise this morning in the group when Iran upsets Wales. So the United States in a great position now to maybe advance out of the group stage. And we will actually talk about that. Not that I'm a soccer aficionado or have any kind of insight, but it is a big event. It is a big deal. And it's going to be a big day today on the sports calendar, along with the traditional Football Friday. Of course, NFL action started yesterday. A lot of college football action over this weekend as teams start to wrap up the regular season. College basketball and then NBA and NHL. It's really just a smorgasbord, so to speak, Troy, just like a Thanksgiving meal. You can overdo it a bit with the sports this weekend.
Well, we got off to a great start last night. The NFL football was fantastic yesterday. Watching teams that can actually score points. I know nothing about that life, Chet. Nothing about it. But it's just, we view football through the prism of offense now because of fantasy football, because of gambling, and because it's more entertaining, frankly. To understand and appreciate defense, you have to, it's almost like chess to know the nuances of it. So what a great night of football. I watched all three games in the NFL, watched a little bit of the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. But yeah, we got World Cup going now. U.S., a huge match. I think they just need to keep it close with England. They don't have to necessarily beat England. They're not obviously favored to beat England. And then they're going to have to win a game just because of that tie with Wales. I thought they were going to win that game. Again, I'm not a soccer expert. My oldest son watches it. He enjoys it. But what a weekend. And then it's just what's crazy about this is maybe the worst game on the slate of everything that's on this weekend is Broncos at Panthers.
Without a doubt.
I'll be flying to Charlotte tomorrow morning.
Without a doubt, it's a dreadful game, and you get the Broncos, who can't score, worst in the NFL, against Sam Darnold, the turnover machine, making his first start of the year. So there will be a lot of Bronco talk today as we get into preview this game and what to expect, if anything. As you mentioned, it is a little bit frustrating, not just the results, the record, but the way it has come about this year with the Broncos. And when you watch games like yesterday, I was a bit surprised, to be honest with you. Matt Smith and I were in here yesterday morning, and I thought that the Lions would put up a fight and it would be a good game, and they have the ability to score and it would be back and forth. And then I thought the games would get progressively worse throughout the day. I thought the Giants, because they're just, you know, carrying a horseshoe around in their back pocket all season long, that they would keep it close and be within the 10 number. And with 8 seconds left, they got within the 10 number against the Cowboys. But I thought the evening game with the Patriots and the Vikings was just going to be dreadful. The Vikings coming off a blowout loss with some question marks on a short week, and the Patriots' offense has just been so putrid. And then Mac Jones comes out and throws for nearly 400 yards last night to have that game entertaining, along with the Egg Bowl that you mentioned. I mean, what was the highlight for you yesterday? You know, you can include the meal as well, but, you know, overall in terms of your Thanksgiving, how did you manage the family duties, the meal, the football viewing? What was the best part?
Yeah, we kept it pretty. We just had a few family over, so it was not unlike just a kind of a normal dinner. I wasn't having to do much. My sister-in-law brought up food. We did something different this year, so we had chicken enchiladas, cheese enchiladas, more of a Mexican theme. Because we're not a big turkey family anymore. I used to eat a lot of turkey. I don't eat as much anymore, so we went more of a Mexican theme. In that regard, it was delicious. I could eat Mexican food every day.
Oh, yeah.
So selfishly, I have no issues with that. And so we did that. And then it was funny. I got dressed for the meal for around noon to about 2, and then immediately got into my sweat gear as soon as I was done eating, because I'd eaten too much, of course, like everyone, get my Thanksgiving pants on and just sit in front of the TV and watch football.
That's the way to do it, though.
But that was my Tuesday, because normally I'm never off on Thursday, and because the way the NFL schedule is, whoever says, what did you do? What is Thanksgiving like in the NFL? And I'm like, it's Thursday. It's a normal work day. Hackett had the team practice on Tuesday this year, which is the normal work day, and then all the players were given off yesterday. So it was unusual to not have to work. Usually I would be, you know, gone from whatever, 9:30 in the morning, and be back around 3 or something on Thanksgiving or 2. So it was cool just to sit in front of the TV, watch football, and kind of just enjoy. Because I don't get to sit and watch a lot of football other than the Broncos bye week or Thursday night football. Because when you go to the game on Sunday, that's your day. Like, you're not watching. It's in the press box, but it's not the viewing experience you have home. But the highlight, that game last night was entertaining. Cowboys, I thought they would dominate. They had a really slow first half, and then eventually they take over. I don't know how the Giants do it. How the Giants have 7 wins is remarkable, because their offensive line is in shambles. They have no receiving threats at this point. And Daniel Jones is the definition of pedestrian. And yeah, you look up, they've got 7 wins because they've taken on the personality of their coach, Dable. It's kind of like the Mike Vrabel effect, where they're just tough team and win close games, kind of the antithesis of the Broncos. And then the Vikings defense is terrible. Their pass defense is awful, because Mac Jones has been terrible this year. At least last 2 games, he gained some traction, but that was an entertaining game. I kept waiting for Kirk Cousins to have his faceplant moment. He had one, and I do think, and I'm not defending the Patriots. Bronco fans hate the Patriots. I don't know how that Hunter Henry one is not a touchdown when he's on the goal line there, and they're saying, oh, the ball is jarring.
It was kind of a sketchy explanation from the pool reporter and the official, too, saying the ball got jostled loose.
His hand was underneath it still, and I don't know. I just think it's like the replay they use in baseball, Chad, where the guy slides in at second and his fingernail comes off, and they call him out. That was never the intent of replay. And to some of these, when you slow it down to that point, like, well, it just looks like the tip of the football is moving. I'm just like, wow. If we went back through history and examined every play like that, holy smokes.
Yeah.
It was a fun game. It was a fun game.
Especially if you re-examine college football, the way champions have been crowned throughout history. Yeah, replay is tough sometimes. But again, when it goes against the Patriots, I don't think too many of us are going to complain. I certainly didn't, because I was on the Vikings last night. But entertaining games to start off the Thanksgiving weekend. While that was going on, the Broncos we're doing something quite different. And Troy has been down there all week, all season. We will get into the scheduling issue and what it means this week, if anything, going to Carolina. We will also get an update on some of the news that was around the team, maybe departing the team from earlier this week. Your interest level in USA versus England coming up today. That's going to be 11 o'clock Mountain Time. You can go almost straight from that into the Avalanche game, because the Avalanche play this afternoon. Nuggets play late tonight in L.A. There's college football. There's a whole lot going on. And then a new update, an actual credible named reporter with a real update concerning the CU coaching search. There may be legs to something. So a lot to get into today. Feel free to join in on the text line 303-713-1043. Troy is here. Don's behind the glass. Chad Andrews with you in for Schlereth and Evans on The Fan.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrews and Denver 7's Troy Rank.
Maybe the best sports weekend of the year. Hard to argue. No matter what you like, unless you're just a hardcore baseball fan, you got pretty much everything else. Hockey hoops, soccer at the World Cup, college football, NFL football. Unless you're the Broncos on Thanksgiving. Chad Andrews and Troy Rank with you. Big Don is on the board. He's got his Team USA scarf on, ready to rock and roll today. Supporting the Stars and Stripes, as they write about us across the pond, which is interesting to read those breakdowns. That game coming up at noon. I think I said 11 earlier, but that's when they're touting the pregame coverage for USA England. But let's talk about the other kind of football, the American football, you know, the man football, where they actually make contact with each other without falling down and crying and acting like a leg was amputated. No offense, like, World Cup is great. I will be watching today when I can. But in terms of American football and our Denver Broncos, Troy, 3-7, they get the holiday off yesterday for Thanksgiving. And you've been around this team all season, more than all season. And you've kind of seen what's going on and what their situation is, let's just say, going forward for the rest of the year as we try to make a stretch run post-holidays here and turn anything around, build any semblance of a reasonable offense down the stretch of the season. What was your reaction when you found out that they got the day off for the holiday? Does it even matter?
I mean, it really doesn't matter because they practiced on Tuesday, so they didn't get any less practice time. The optics of it aren't great because of the fact they're 3-7 and it feels like you're rewarding them for this. That wasn't necessarily the case. Hackett has preached family and togetherness with the team. It hasn't necessarily translated with his coaching staff, where they've got guys sleeping at the building and, you know, all the things that they talked about in terms of connecting and having a healthy work-life balance. I'm not sure that has been the case for the coaching staff. But for the players, they appreciated it. It's just unusual because they weren't planning on it. So essentially, the players ended up having a couple players had a bunch of guys over, and it can be a, you know, an event where it helps establish more camaraderie, especially this time of year, because this is where you start to lose buy-in. Let's be honest, you're 3-7, you're not going to the playoffs, and anyone that says you are, tell me where the wins are. The most winnable game on the schedule was last week against the Raiders at home, a team that just lost to Jeff Saturday, or is it Jeff Sunday? It just lost to him, and you lose to them at home. You're 5-16 in your last 21 AFC West games. You haven't won an AFC West game this year. But if you look at the schedule, Carolina is technically a winnable game because Carolina is awful offensively, like you are. But their defense is really
like
good.
Me? Like, yeah. I am?
Like the Broncos are. And then you look at maybe the Cardinals at home, maybe the Rams in L.A. I mean, where are the wins on the schedule? So I didn't have an issue with it. It's just the optics of it coming off another horrific loss where a Raiders team going nowhere. That Raiders team walked away feeling like they've got hope. They've got playmakers. They've got Devontae Adams. They've got Derek Carr playing, you know, starting to gain some traction. And the Broncos, with Clint Kubiak calling plays, they looked better offensively at times, especially in the first half, third quarter. You realize this, Chad, and you probably do because you follow closely. The Broncos have one touchdown in the third quarter this season. One. They don't have a touchdown pass to a receiver at home this season. Their one touchdown pass to a receiver is tight end Eric Sauber. That's where we are right now. Russell Wilson has 7 touchdowns. Peyton Manning had 7 touchdowns in a game against the Ravens years ago. It's just, if everything that quite possibly could go wrong has gone wrong. From we don't play the players in preseason, to be the healthiest team in the league. You're the most injured team in the league. You get Russell Wilson, a 9-time Pro Bowler, and you get significantly worse offensively, 5 points a game worse offensively. Your head coach looks like he's just over his skis constantly. It's just, I can't imagine. And Red McGregor, your other big signing, hey, no, he wants to play. And talking to him, he hasn't played since September. You trade Bradley Chubb. I mean, literally, if you had a box of what would be the worst case scenario for this team, they've almost checked every box. I don't even know what would be left to check other than losing out. I mean, it's just remarkable to me. I thought at the very bottom end of this team, and I'll ask you, I thought it was 7-10. I thought they were going to be somewhere between 7-10 and 10-7. I never in my wildest imagination thought they'd be low 7 wins this year with that schedule.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine getting to 7 at this point with what's left on the schedule and how banged up they are. Because they're, like you said, they're the most injured team in the NFL. They have, you know, the worst offense in the NFL by points. The meme that was going around yesterday and in recent days was Russell Wilson has 7 touchdown passes. He has more bathrooms in his house than he has touchdown passes on the season. He has 12 bathrooms in the new Cherry Hills crib. I know Hackett has come in with the energy and the attitude and the friendliness and wanting to be everybody's buddy and get along and be nice with the players being the players' coach. And for the most part, as bad as they have been, it does seem to have worked a bit. And I want to touch on that a little bit more coming up in just a couple of minutes with another development that happened with the Broncos this week. But was the day off on Thanksgiving more for the coaching staff than it was for the players? To give them that break, since you talked about how many were staying at the facility and doing the long days and the stuff that doesn't seem to jive with kind of the loosey-goosey, you know, work-life balance, be everybody's buddy and have a fun time at work?
You know, I haven't heard that he's losing his coaching staff. I mean, there's definitely some disconnect there with some of the guys that weren't as close to him when he brought him in. It can help. Because it is a family day, and if your family's here, that allow you to hit the reset button. But my argument would be you just had a bye week. You know, so if you have to do that for your coaching staff now, that's problematic because you're coming off a bye week when you had legitimate family time for 2 or 3 days to kind of get away from it all. Hackett means well. Any of us that are around him, he's a great personality, high-energy guy. The way he relates to people and connects, it is all that is real. But I said even back in the summer, he's got to prove he can coach. He hadn't called plays in like 3 years. And in hindsight, I would never let a new offensive coach, a coordinator come in, a first-time head coach, and call plays and be the head coach. We've just seen it just nosedive here consistently. It's just too much on his plate. It's been too much on his plate. They look better with Kubiak calling plays and with him coaching. The problem Hackett runs into now, Chad, is we joked about Jason Garrett when he was with the Cowboys. Coach Clapp. What was his job? Just sit there on the sideline. Clapp. Like, what was his job? What is Hackett's purpose now? Like, I mean, that's the meme that goes around from the office. What is it exactly you do here? And if he doesn't call the plays and he's not involved, you know, he's involved at the game planning of the offense, but he's not calling the defense certainly. How is he going to put his footprint on this team? And through energy, you can, but at some point, you've got to have strategy. Like when I watch them play Mike Vrabel and the Titans, that team adopts the personality of their coach more than anybody in the league. They're tough. They're physical. They're going to punch you in the throat till the very last whistle. They're going to play beyond the whistle. That's who they are. What is the identity of this team under Hackett? That guys get along? That's your identity? You know, they don't do anything particularly well, Chad. That's what's so frustrating. The only thing their identity is, they don't have one. And that is hard to believe at this point in the season as you enter game 11. And Hackett has brought some good things to the table. But at the NFL, you know this, and anyone that gambles or plays fantasy football, it's about one thing, winning. That's one of the things I love about covering the NFL. It's not about style. It's not about your ads, your brand. None of that matters if you cannot win on Sunday. And the Broncos don't win. They don't win on the road. They don't win at home. They don't win in the AFC West. They have become so embedded with losing with this culture. What I have realized, though, after being there this season, is Russell Wilson and a new coach can't save it. It's going to take a little bit, and it's going to take more than one or two people in the building to turn this culture that's embedded in losing around. It's going to take longer than I think we realized.
Let's dive into that. Coming up next, because there were a lot of culture comments related around the coaching staff this week that were a bit surprising, to be honest with you. And it doesn't indicate that anything is off the rails when it clearly is, based on the product on the field. You can chime in at 303-713-1043 on the text line. Chad and Troy in for Schlereth and Evans today on The Fan.
It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
We'll brew it up this morning. Why not? I had some coffee struggles yesterday, Troy. It was a major first world problem in the morning. Ooh, it was rough, let me tell you.
At the house?
No, here. On the way here, we had some issues on Thanksgiving morning trying to locate coffee, but thankfully the break room here saved me. You know, those first world problems when you work on the holiday.
Yeah.
I want to continue with what you brought up about the losing culture with the Broncos, and it's going to take more than just fixing the coach or the quarterback to remedy that. And what's interesting to me in terms of you stating that I don't think Hackett has lost his coaches yet, and I don't think he's lost the players in the locker room despite being 3-7, and this team really in a much longer spiral than that than he's been a part of, that the fans have grown frustrated with over the past 6+ years. And what I want to talk about is Melvin Gordon speaking to Mike Kliss this week. And I don't know if you've spoken to Melvin. If you have, great, since the release. But some of the quotes in Kliss's article from Melvin were things that, one, were a bit surprising for someone who's just been released. But what struck me is that there was no need for him to go out of his way and do this unless he is really putting up a big PR front to salvage his image and get another job and stay in the league as someone who can help on a better team, or he's just a genuine good guy speaking from the heart, honestly. And it could be a mix of both of those. Very well could be. But when Melvin Gordon says things like, quote, as far as the staff, there were times like I felt like I was a scapegoat, but respectably speaking, I hope I did save them some time because Coach Hacks, Nathaniel Hackett, is a good dude. That staff, they're great dudes. They just weren't great for me. But I respect those guys. It was hard there for me, but I respect that organization. They gave me a chance to keep playing for my dream. For my teammates' sake, I hope the coaches do stay around because it's hard to get your foot in with other coaches. I'm a prime example. Whether you're a great player, a good player, an average player, you don't always fit with the staff they bring in, then that brings problems. You see the situation I'm in, and I don't wish that on any player. So I hope they make it work for the guys' sake. So is Melvin Gordon here, is he being genuine? Like, is he still buying in to the team, the players, the locker room, the coaching staff that was here, and thinking it's a salvageable situation, or is he just spinning things on the way out the door so he can get another job?
Well, he's glossing over some stuff because he did have some issues with how his benching specifically in L.A. was handled. The lack of communication there that led to him being benched, which led to a meeting with George Payton and Nathaniel Hackett, which led to him keeping his starting job. He does like Coach Hackett. I know that. He does. I would say this, Chad. He's speaking in a vacuum. The idea that you would keep a coaching staff because it's hard to make change, you know, when another coach comes in, that's not always good for guys. And I understand the point Melvin's making. And I really appreciated Melvin Gordon. It's covering him because I tell people, I root for the story. He was at his locker good times or bad times. He was candid and unique in every way in his interviews. So I like that Melvin Gordon. I wasn't his teammate. I wasn't his coach. So from a media perspective, though, I like Melvin. I really appreciate and respect
him. The team reportedly all liked him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy in the locker room.
Ever once Philip left Lindsay, that helped him. It was very awkward when he and Philip were there together because he took Philip's money and then eventually took Philip's position. And Philip was the second most popular Bronco at that time behind Von Miller.
But isn't that though, harder on the fans in the fan perspective, not the locker room perspective?
No, it was an issue in the locker room, too, because they didn't understand why they got Melvin Gordon and why they paid him. I mean, they had Philip there, and I mean, you could argue they need, you know, they needed multiple good players, but it was awkward for him, and he had been on a rival team. It was awkward, and then he underestimated Philip's popularity here, and not understanding why Broncos country was not embracing his arrival at all. But I would say this with Melvin. In a vacuum, in a very specific instance in his case, he's saying, like, yeah, it's hard when they bring in new coaches. You don't know where you fit in, and they look at me. This is what Melvin didn't fit in because he fumbled. It's really that simple. They wanted Melvin to succeed, and I was rooting for him to succeed because he's a good interview. He makes good copy, as we say in the business. He's really good after games, during the week, always at his locker. To us in the media, he was accountable. I appreciated that. But his situation was unique to this. He fumbled 12 times in 2.5 seasons, lost 9 of them. I think there were four of those were taken back for scores. So what I would say is, when he says he likes Coach Hackett and the staff, I don't know about the whole staff. He definitely likes Coach Hackett. I haven't had one player tell me they don't like Coach Hackett. That wasn't the case with Vic Fangio. By the end, there was either they didn't like him or the height of it was indifference. Nobody
listen to the drive with Derek Wolfe about Vic Fangio any day.
Yeah, nobody wanted him to, was fighting for him to stay. Now, he was a genius, and they respected him in terms of his defense, the way he set up game plans, but nobody was fighting for him to stay in that locker room last year. This year, they all like Hackett. They do. But the idea you can't change because it could make it hard on some of the guys there, here's the issue. What I would take umbrage with Melvin, and I would tell him this if he was in front of me, is there's going to be a lot of change. The team's terrible. You cannot keep these same guys. And I would say offensively, specifically, where this team has really hurt itself, they don't spend enough on the offensive side of the ball, and they overvalue the guys they have. Go through their list right now. If we had a starting 11, how many times every week would you take a Broncos player over anybody on the other team at that position? How many times? Who on the Broncos every week do you say, I would take him over anybody on the other team's offense?
There's not anyone at this point. Dulcich is probably the only one that has potential to be a tight end over other tight ends in the game. But no one on the offensive line. There's not one single offensive lineman that I would take over most opponents. Quarterback, Russ is in the bottom five this season. And I think they have wide receivers that are NFL players and starting NFL players, but they don't have a number one and they don't have a game breaker.
Exactly.
So there's always going to be a number one that's ahead of anybody they put out there.
Right.
Even if Tim Patrick were healthy, who I think is like a great number two receiver on a good NFL team.
But you could argue you have three number twos in Sutton, Patrick, and Judy. I mean, Sutton has one touchdown in his last 21 games. I mean, when I watched last night, what was the difference? Devontae Parker, go make a play. Justin Jefferson, go make a play. Who is that on the Broncos?
No, they don't.
Could be Judy at times. He's wildly inconsistent, and I've been bullish on him more than anyone. He's wildly inconsistent, and now he's dealing with injuries. And injuries stink. They do. But to be a number one, you have to be available, and you have to be able to make plays on third down and in the red zone. Sutton doesn't score touchdowns. Judy doesn't score touchdowns. They don't have a wide receiver touchdown at home this season. And that's my point. So with Melvin saying, I'd hate to see change for those guys, they can't be comfortable anymore. When you look at that offense this offseason, priority number one beyond you hope Russell Wilson, this isn't who he is, because they are in a horrible spot if this is the Russell Wilson going forward. And since his finger, he broke his finger last year, now over 18 games, over those 18 games since he broke his finger last year, 22 touchdowns and 10 picks. If that's who Russell is, they're in trouble, but they need an offensive playmaker at receiver this offseason. They're probably going to have to get at least two offensive linemen.
We're going to get more into this at the top of the hour, how it relates to this week's game, how Hackett approaches it, and the bigger picture. But Troy's been around the team all season. He covers the Broncos. He's been there every single day. There's a lot to dive into here, as well as some feedback coming in on the text line. 303-713-1043. We will continue with a Football Friday with a heavy Broncos preview. But coming up next, there is one other thing I want to gauge your interest on before we dive back into the Broncos. We'll do that next on The Fan.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. In this morning for Schlereth Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Denver 7's Troy Rank.
Rocking and rolling on a football Friday. Chad and Troy, coming up, top of the hour, we got a lot of Broncos to get in today. Troy's fired up. He hasn't been in here in a while. So he's got some HSOs, some hot sports opinions to fire off. I'm going to let him cool off for a couple minutes and redirect before we get back in at 7 o'clock and jump on this Panthers game and get to your text as well at 303-713-1043. But before we do that, Troy, we mentioned how busy the weekend is with all of the different action. It's a huge college sports weekend for football and basketball. Of course, the NFL. Avalanche will be in action this afternoon. Nuggets later tonight. And then you throw the World Cup on top of this. And I'm not a huge soccer fan or football. But when it's a big event like this and the USA has expectations for the first time in a while, I'm definitely going to pay attention. Noon start today when they take on England in a huge match, which is just going to be monster ratings for Fox. There's going to be people globally. This thing is going to go through the roof. But I want to gauge your interest level in watching USA England today. And before you answer that question, any of you out there that maybe rolling your eyes or shaking your head, look, I get it. If you're not a soccer fan, maybe you're not into it. But the United States, with a team with some expectations to get out of the group stage and maybe advance in this World Cup for the first time in a long time, got some great news this morning, because the team that they had a draw with in the opening match, Wales, lost to Iran 2-0. So that's not only a loss where they are now 0-1-1 with the draw with the U.S., but for the group stage and in terms of potentially getting out of the group, it's a huge opportunity for the United States against England today, whether they win or not. But if they play them close, to have a chance to get out of this, Group B that they're in with England, Iran, U.S., and Wales. So what's your interest level in USA England today?
Well, I'll be at Broncos today working, but my son will be watching it. So I'll be following it. If I was home, I would definitely be watching some of it. I can't watch a soccer game for 90 minutes or 90 minutes plus. I don't connect in it that way. But when sports is played at the highest level, I do enjoy watching it. You pick it, and I'll watch it. I just can't. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm going to watch from, them on the pitch from the opening till 90 minutes. I can't watch soccer that way. I can't consume it that way. So when I'm at home, if I were home today, I'd be flipping between basketball and World Cup football. I'll be flipping. And then if it gets to a point where it's 1-1 or whatever, I would watch like the last 30 minutes of it. I enjoy it at the highest level. I really do. It's just, I didn't grow up with soccer. I didn't play soccer. My kids didn't play soccer. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend to the audience that it's something that I'm fascinated with. But I love it played at the highest level.
I thought I was the only kid that never played soccer, but I didn't know your kids didn't play.
My oldest played for like 2 games when he was 4, and my youngest never played soccer. And he probably would have been – he actually profiles as someone who would have been pretty good at soccer. Because of his athleticism, but we weren't a soccer family. I mean, I grew up playing football, basketball, baseball. You played the seasonal sports. And then when my kids got older, baseball became something they played, not year round, but it became a fall thing. So that my kids basically played baseball fall, baseball spring, and then my youngest played baseball, basketball, baseball. I mean, football, it wasn't part of our life growing up, because once they realized they weren't going to be football players, all football was for them was a chance to get injured to hurt their baseball careers. I didn't tell them to stop. They wanted to play. I was fine with it. I love football. But I didn't play in high school either. I played basketball and baseball and golf in high school. So I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a soccer expert. But I will say this, Chad. From what I'm reading on my Twitter feed, that second Iran goal was actually good for the U.S. today. Because if there's a tie at 4 points, it looks like that really could hurt Wales in terms of goal differential.
Oh, absolutely.
So this was a good day. Because I thought initially, I was like, oh, no. Iran upsetting them. But it seems like it's a good thing that they actually won 2-0 in extra time, because it went to extra time. The penalty time is 0-0, right? 0-0. So this is a good day for U.S. is, you know, they have a clear path now to get out of this group.
Just don't get hammered by England.
Yeah, you can't lose 6-1, 5-1. And England could do that to you. Is Kane playing? Do we know? Kane is playing because he was hurt. I saw that. And he's like their dude. It's just frustrating with U.S. because I thought they should have beat Wales. They dominated all of a sudden.
They dominated the first half.
I saw
the first half. It was very tilted. It was one-sided. The second half was quite different after the adjustments, because I did watch that match. I was interested. And, you know, I can pay attention when it's the high stakes, right, like you're talking about. Let me ask you this. England had 6 goals in their match against Iran. The total score between England and the U.S. today, more or less than Broncos Panthers on Sunday.
Broncos Panthers is going to be 3-0, 3-2, 5-3, 6-3. I mean, the over-under, I think, for Broncos Panthers is, isn't it 35? It's easily the lowest on the board.
Yeah, it should be. It should be super low.
I think it's 35.
You know, the only thing preventing it from being lower is the pick six opportunities that are there with Sam Darnold and Russell Wilson playing. It's,
the Broncos over-under is 36, and the Broncos are currently a one-point favorite in that. But 30, that is a low number, folks. Anything under 40 is low. And you got, and I think last year when the Broncos opened up against the Giants, it might have been like 34.5. I mean, I've lived it, so I'm not going to. But, yeah, if that U.S.-England score is like 4-2, then they've got a realistic, or 5-3, which would be a shock, but it would have a chance to outscore Panthers Broncos. Because I could see a Broncos Panthers game of six, around 6-3.
5-3 would be amazing. You know, I did almost nail the Colts game because I predicted a 9-9 tie, because that's what both teams deserved. But then a pesky overtime field goal blew it.
You predicted that before the game?
Yeah, before the game. Yeah. On a actual, you know, sports wagering broadcast, I said, yeah, both teams deserve this to be a 9-9 tie.
I know who didn't deserve it, the country and the Denver 7 audience.
And Al Michaels.
Al Michaels is just disgusted.
For the record, despite what you expect from Broncos Panthers this weekend, all three of the games yesterday, I think, did go over their total. They were exciting. It was watching offensive football for once. So at least we got entertained a little bit on the Thanksgiving menu of football. All right, we're going to get back into this week and Troy's observations / frustrations from the Broncos, and look at this Panthers game and what to expect. How many wins are left on this schedule, given what you've seen from the Broncos? 303-713-1043 on the text line. Chad and Troy in for Schlereth and Evans today on The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.